Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Today, we'll be finishing our coverage of Titus, starting with the lead up to Space Marine 2. Well, I mean, for now. I mean, that 500. The problem is that the GW did a classic thing. Like they told us in the end of November that the 500 worlds will be coming out late 2025. So either within the next 6 weeks or early 2026. Yeah, March. It'll be March. So anyway, until then, we'll do this because it has to come out. I have to read all of it, and then we can do a cast on it. We'll get there. So, 40K Lorecast, weekly show in the lore of the Warhammer 40K universe, releasing every Monday at 7 p.m. Again,
Eastern Standard Time.
That's important. Yeah, they would have figured it out. But to everyone who's done a really great job of following and commenting, it is amazing. Seeing our ranking overall is great. But more importantly, it's just nice having discoverability, having people come in. We're still getting constantly new people to the cast. And that's because of all the comments and likes you guys have done. Spotify, iTunes, etc. are telling people, hey, these guys are kind of cool to listen to. Give them a shout. So, awesome. If you like the show and you want more of it, click on the show notes to our YouTube page. Brad and I do every 2-month-ish Q&A. We have one that would have happened about a week ago or a week and a half ago at this point. So you can go there. Great little spot for us. And then in 2026, we're hoping to launch a couple extra shows over there. We currently have the history of 40K, which covers the history of the tabletop game. But the hope is that a few other shows kick out next year. Just more a matter of getting some schedules down and some turnaround times. But also in that note, Patreon. So that's how we're doing this stuff. We have a Patreon. Big thank you to everyone who's been contributing already. It allows us to actually get some of this other stuff going. We can get stuff like engineers for audio. We can get some help on video, which allows us to do more because I just unfortunately have a job, so I can't do this full time. So thank you. Thank you people on Patreon who are allowing us to really expand out what we're able to do. It means a lot to us. Patreon is $4.99 a month. That gets you the show and the history of 40K ad-free. But last week we covered where you would go if you like it cold. And this week, for only 427 in euros, you can go somewhere that has over 300 days of sunshine a year. I also do like that at this point, our cast is a global measurement of the US dollar, because every week I get to, we do euro like once a month, and I keep listening to it move around. But anyway, Cyprus. Cyprus is located in the far east of the Mediterranean Sea. It's home to some of the oldest relics in Europe, dating back 9,500 years, making them actually older than Egyptian society. Cyprus has been a key part of the Mediterranean, as it was important to the Greeks, the Romans, the Persians, the Ottomans, and actually some others. The reason for this is they're a critical stop on the Silk Road. It's a nice island that you can put supplies on and defend them. So pretty cool thing. Also was part of the British Empire at one point, because who wasn't? A couple of fun facts about Cyprus. They have the world's oldest wine, Kamandaraya. It's a dessert wine. It's been around since at least 2000 BC. And for the record, it's fine. It's fine.
It's too sweet.
You don't like sweet things. Your opinion on sweet things means nothing. You don't like cake.
I was waiting for that. Yeah. I was like, I don't like anything sweet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You don't like cake. No one wants to hear like, it's too sweet. Shut up, Brad. The other thing is the island is so beautiful that the Greek goddess Aphrodite, they believe she was born there. And fun one, they're an island of cats. The lore is that the island got overrun with snakes and someone brought cats there to eat all the snakes. And they did. So now there's more cats than people there. No word in current snake or mouse populations. But there's Cyprus. Now you know. Lastly, we also have our Discord. Great little, I'm about to say little community. Great massive community you guys can jump into. Great place to talk to Brad and I, ask us questions, but more importantly, talk to other people who have similar interests to you. That's the real value there. You get to go in there, tons of literature recommendations, tons of ideas. Great spot for people to explain to me when I get things wrong, which drives me nuts every time, but I do, and I own it. It just sucks I get it wrong, even though having notes in front of me, but whatever. Great community. We have painting competitions now, meetups. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on in there, so it's a really great place if you're either, whether a veteran of 40K or new to 40K, come on in, join it, and have some fun with us. But speaking of having fun, Titus, incarcerated by the Ordo Malleus.
He's on, let's just say he's on ice right now.
So at the end of our last cast, we got into the fact that Titus had been imprisoned by Thrax, an inquisitor for the Ordo Malleus. Thrax had tried to find the corruption side of Titus and had found there was none.
Whoa, John. To be fair, he wishes he was only just captured.
No, he doesn't matter. Titus is fine. If we're being honest, Titus was...
I mean, he was fine, but he's also not happy.
He's unconscious.
For part of the time.
Really? Of the two of us, who spent more time unconscious on an operating table?
I mean, me by far. Yeah. And it hurts also when they're doing other stuff.
It hurts when you wake up. That's all my point is. That's the thing. When you wake up,
Yeah, except for the fact that when Titus woke up, each and every time he woke up, it was, hey, man, what am I being woken up for? Torture? Sweet. Even though they didn't call it torture.
Yeah. Well, let's not go into the details, but the thing you were in the hospital for last time, I think you would have preferred to have been asleep during it.
Oh, so much. I would have liked the way. I would like to still be asleep, by the way.
Why do I have to be conscious for this? Well, we got to ask you questions while doing this thing to you. This feels inappropriate, and I don't like any of you. So, but back to Titus, who had a similar experience. So Titus had been captured by Thrax. After months of testing, his mind was proven to be clear.
They keep popping him out. Let's talk about what happened on that. Because Titus is out. Thrax is just dead set that Titus is corrupted. So he's effectively just poking him with a stick. And then he puts him in stasis, pops him out of stasis, pokes him with a stick, puts him back into stasis. And this happens like multiple times. And then, well, things went down with Thrax.
Yeah. So the problem, the issue is, and this is kind of GW did call this out, in that after Thrax dies, the Ordo Malleus, you know, he died of corruption. It was pretty quick corruption, but it was corruption. The Ordo Malleus then get involved. And they want to go figure out how they lose one of their own to corruption. So it's at a conclave of inquisitors into looking into Thrax. And when they get there, they discover his like facilities. It's in the bottom of the galaxy on some random world. He's got this special prison. And they find Titus in there. Actually, they find more than just Titus.
I was going to say, they find a whole bunch of guys in there. And it was all people that he was poking with sticks because he was dead set that they were all corrupted.
But again, when I look at Thrax, I don't see Thrax as being like, we have corrupt inquisitors in the... throughout the lore, quite a lot of them actually. And my opinion, Thrax is not one of those ones who falls to corruption years and spends years in it. Thrax was just a person who was obsessed with corruption. And he saw, I think in Titus,
he also saw the fact that he didn't want to be wrong. I get that like a lot from everything we have.
Yeah, you see, I don't actually.
Come on, man.
No.
Because he had that whole like, I told you he was corrupted. You know, like he is definitely not corrupted. He'll eventually be corrupted. I'll just put him in the freezer and see how it goes.
Yes, I took a different way. I saw Thrax as seeing Titus as being an ultimate weapon. And it's less about trying to, it's more of like The Last of Us. It's the idea of whatever's inside of Titus would be the greatest weapon for the Imperium ever. I need that weapon. That's where I think this went down to. And whatever.
So you're trying to Deadpool him?
Yeah. Yeah, Deadpool me. What's her name in Last of Us? Anyway, I'll think of it in like 2 minutes. But anyway, that's what I think of more of that. Because the truth is, the Imperium itself, this is a better weapon. The Imperium is full of blanks. right? Blanks are not special. And for those of you who maybe...
Yeah, but they wreck people and it feels terrible too.
But for those of you who don't know what a blank is, because maybe you're just in the Titus cast alone, we call a blank is someone who's resistant to the warp. And we call them blanks because they appear as a void within the warp.
I was just about to say, not resistant to the warp. They're resistant to the warp because of the fact that they don't show up in the warp. They also pull away the warp. They also make everybody sad that they're next to.
Yeah, that's a side effect of it. But the thing is, like, a Sisters of Silence, Eversor Assassins, they're all blanks. And so their powers are so much, they can even diminish the power of a Psyker. But as Brad was just saying, they also affect people around them because people are all warp sensitive. And they cover this in one of the more recent books, that our soul is actually tied to the warp. And so if you put someone around them that creates, that disrupts that, you feel almost detached from your soul. So you feel there's something around them. So it's not fun being around them. It's like making a phone call in an elevator. It's kind of how I describe it. If you're around a blank where, yeah, you're technically on the phone, but it's not really all the way working and you're not quite there. So I think Thrax and the Inquisition saw in Titus this same blank power, but without the blank negative. And this is because Titus is not a blank. He's just resistant specifically to chaos, which is a huge deal. In fact, it's like maybe the biggest deal in all of the Imperium.
Also, because if you can utilize warp power and not be corrupted, you have powerful, powerful people.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Grey Knights already.
Well, that's what it is. He's not that distant. He's a Grey Knight without the Psyker thing. And you don't have to imbue the Emperor into him. So you could actually take him and clone him a bunch. So you have like a chapter of Titus's, which I think is Titani. I've done Latin.
Titani.
Well, it's been 30 years since I took Latin, but I think it's Us I, if I'm not mistaken. It's A-I-E. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, Us I. So yeah, Titani. Titani? Titani, whatever. You probably shouldn't call it the chapter Titani. The second company of Titani are here. That's better than Supplicators, Fallen Stars. These are actual titles, guys. Fallen Stars, the Goth chapter, the Contenders. Now, which I'll be honest.
I was just about to say, Contenders are the worst name.
Because by the way, Rocky One, good movie. Every other Rocky movie, not good. And then my favorite, the Terror Tigers. Rawr. Watch out! Here come the Terror Tigers. Yeah, it's basically that or they're great. Those are your two options on Terror Tigers. Terror Tigers sound like a 6-year old soccer club.
I need to get a Terror Tigers chapter going now so I can just have Tony the Tiger and a bunch of Tiger Marines.
Just sit there every day. I could 3D print you a carrying case that would be a Frosted Flakes box.
Pour them out.
Yeah. But every time you go into combat, you have to go rar.
that's how you get the rerolls, man.
Yeah. But anyway, back to what we're supposed to be doing here. On the last cast, I was talking about my theory on Thrax, and I still stand by it, is he only became corrupt at the end because he was just pursuing. He pursued a little bit too far. And Thrax saw in Titus a way to defeat the archenemy. He couldn't figure out how to turn Titus into a mass weapon, but he wanted to. So he figured, I'll put you in stasis. We're figuring this out. I'm going to end the arch enemy with this Astartes.
I don't disagree with you. I just think Thrax was a super shitty dude.
Yeah.
He didn't have to be corrupted to be an ass.
Yeah. All the Inquisitors are, though. And that's part of being an Inquisitor.
To some way, degree or not, I just think that he was kind of a big shithead. Sorry. I mean, he started off as a douche. And then at the end, he got corrupted. But he was doing questionable stuff, which Inquisitors do constantly because they are morally.
I view Thrax as a weird thing to do, but I view him as a detective who works like special victims units. I think Thrax is just so messed up from what he has to deal with all day, every day. He's just, the second he thinks you're a problem, he just is like, all right, I don't even want to deal with this problem anymore.
I got it. I got the feel that even for Inquisitors, he was.
Oh, I'm probably wrong. I realize everyone else is going to watch this. No, Thrax is just a straight up bad guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to add some complexity to it because otherwise antagonists are boring. You're like, oh, this is a bad guy. What's he? All bad things. Is this a cartoon for 7-year-olds? Like, why don't we just add some backstory and make it a bit more interesting? Anyway, we also should mention that Titus's abduction by the Inquisition did not go unnoticed or without protest. Khalgar himself spent over 100 years constantly demanding the return of his brother. He wanted at first an update. Where is he? And then just like, why is he not back? And the Inquisition just ignored it. So eventually Titus was marked as MIA, And during this time, Cato Sicarius became the leader of the second company. Cato and Titus actually have an interesting relationship because their stories, it's actually impressive. They overlap in the lore, but GW retconned it just enough that they don't. It's pretty
clever. I like it quite a bit, though. Like I dig it, though.
Because when you first read
it. Same thing, that the reason that Cato has two models currently in the game.
It really is like the way that if you look at the writing and the timing on the writing, they found basically a way to make these two overlap both as captains of second company and not have it be an issue. So go ahead and read the stuff. It's pretty cool. But the Inquisition arrive at Thrax's base and they find not only Titus, but about a dozen other space marines all in stasis. All had been accused of heresy, subjected to a ton of testing that they'd all passed, but...
Oh, I was just... Let's throw that out there. This is a bigger deal on this. Because everyone... This is why I think Drax is a piece. Because all of these guys would have been insta-killed if he would have found any sort of corruption. But he kept all of them in stasis.
Yeah. And that's why...
screw off.
And again, I'm literally writing something for GW that they didn't write. But I'm coming and saying, I think it's because he wanted to turn them into something else. I don't think it's as much that, oh yeah, you passed all my corruption tests. Like, you passed the lie detector. We're doing another one tomorrow. And then tomorrow. And then tomorrow. I see it more as a...
I think you should just accept he's a whole bag of douche.
Yeah, but I really... It's just that's such lazy writing that I just refuse to accept it. What happens next is kind of funny. The Ordo Malleus has now found a bunch of imprisoned Astartes, who all have done nothing wrong. And they decide to not do their traditional thing, which is just kill them all and burn the place down. Because that's usually what the Inquisition does when confronted with evidence of like their own failure, is they do the naked gun, nothing to see here, fireworks store. Move along, move along, nothing to see here. Yeah, just nothing to see here. But in this case, the Inquisition actually decided, in my opinion, that the information gleaned from Thrax was of value. And there was enough evidence that Titus wasn't a heretic, so they released him and the other ones, sort of. And I say sort of because the Imperium's weird. They have a galaxy-wide communication ability, but unless the message is important, the whole thing fails.
Then it never goes through. Ever.
It's basically like being on an iPhone on the AT&T network in 2007. That's that who you worked for, right, Brad?
Indeed, I did.
Yeah, exactly. The one where if you were on the iPhone and you made a call to someone who was also on the iPhone and you could see that person, the call would go through. That's about it. It had the same network as two cans with a string. But despite his discovery and release, no one tells the Ultramarines. So they don't know that Titus has been found. And he's saying that, but I've never been a heretic, nor will I ever be a heretic. And he joins the Death Watch, not because to prove anything. Well, he does it because there's no word from the Ultramarines. Titus, because he was taken by the Inquisition, assumes that the Ultramarines aren't reaching out to him because they're ashamed of him. And therefore, what he decides to do is, well, I'm going to go. It's not even a penitent crusade. He just is like, all right, well, the Ultramarines don't want me. I still love the Imperium. I'm going to serve the Imperium as a still not heretic. And he joins the Death Watch. But he joins the Death Watch as a Black Shield. And so for those, again, who didn't listen to it, real quick, when you join the Death Watch, your chapter paints your armor black for you, but they preserve one pauldron. And I can't remember if it's left or right. It's only one of them. It's always the same side. And that pauldron will contain your original chapter's heraldry. So when you fight for the Death Watch, you've got your Ultramarines, your Silver Scars, your whatever it's going to be, your Terror Tigers. They're not welcome to Death Watch. The Terror Tiger. You've got that pauldron, and everyone knows that's who you're with. But some people join the Death Watch because of a problem. Either their chapter fell to a common one is that their chapter fell to heresy and they were left alone. They were loyal, then they join. Others have made a mistake, so it's part of a penitence to their chapter. These ones wear two Death Watch pauldrons, and they're known as Black Shields because it's a black pauldron. So Titus assumes he's lost the honor of his chapter and he enters the Death Watch as a Black Shield.
Well, and because of this, Titus goes in semi-shamed. Also, he's been gone for a while and no one's came for him.
About 120 years. Yeah. It's been 120 years. Yeah.
So for whatever reason, he just decides to enter WITSEC and decides to be Nullus.
Yeah.
He chooses a new name when he joins the Death Watch, basically throwing off his old identity because of all the things that are happening right now. And you have to think, though, he hasn't heard anything at all. So there is a whole lot of, man, I did a lot of good work, but all these dudes talked a wild amount of shit about me possibly being corrupt and doing all this stuff. And then my chapter didn't come back for me. Well, crap. Like, what is happening?
And so Nullus now joins the Death Watch, and he's the same badass he was as an Ultramarine. It's not known how many engagements he went on or how many Xenos he killed, but it's a lot. It's a lot.
And he was engaged with the Death Watch for a while. It wasn't like this tiny.
Yeah, it wasn't a little 6 week adventure. He was there for a long time. And to be fair, Titus had decided long ago that he was ready to die as a nameless member of the Death Watch. That's what he just accepted. And then all this happens and the Tyranids come back. And the Tyranids come back. So High Fleet Leviathan, which is our 10th edition 40K, is the backdrop of Space Marine 2. This is the High Fleet Leviathan has entered the galaxy from everywhere. And this is the largest Tyranid invasion ever, by a magnitude, by the way. Not like, oh, last time there was 10 million Tyranids and this time there's 11. It's like, no, last time there was a billion Tyranids and this time there's a quadrillion. And if I actually take both those numbers and add zeros to them, because there's a lot of Tyranids.
Several even.
Yeah. What happens is, as High Fleet Leviathan's coming into the galaxy, all the Watch fortresses activate, and they launch these full-blown assaults into the creeping Tyranid invasions, because what the Imperium has learned is that you want to eliminate, or at least kind of...
Tendrils. One of the things that the Imperium has learned over fighting the Tyranids for years and years and years now is you can't fight them full-on, because you end up giving biomass to the Tyranids, and then it's almost like fighting in fantasy undead where you keep having more and more soldiers. So what you have to do is the Tyranids fleets put out tendrils, and they put out forces that go, and you chop off pieces of those tendrils, and that's how you effectively fight the Tyranids, is slice off pieces of the fleet as you go.
Yep. And what they're trying to do is effectively make it so a forceful assault is more effective. The issue for the Imperium is that we're going to throw guards and even space marines at these things, but we need them not to bounce when they hit there. So we're going to weaken them. One of them, the areas that they targeted, is the Residia system. So Kill Team Kassarian is deployed to Kaduku, which is one of the planets there, and to assist the guard regiment there. The plan was to assault, deploy a virus bomb into the Hive fleet. This would then blunt the assault temporarily, because Tyranids will obviously adapt to anything, but this would give the guards a chance to muster and deploy full force back in and maybe save the planet. But the Death Watch were not the only support being sent there. The most noble of all of the chapters had been sent, the Ultramarines.
Give it the whole thing.
Thank the Emperor, that because it's way better than the child-murdering flame guys.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Setting up everything, Leviathan enters the galaxy. Every world gives immediate beacon. They are spamming the button for the nurse to come into the room.
Yeah.
We need some help.
Every planet, everywhere. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, the sky is black. And that's a real thing, actually, when the Tyranids come in. They blanket the sky with so many bugs you can't see. But everything is coming. And the Leviathan's so big, it's just hitting kind of everything. All the systems are getting overwhelmed at the same time.
Yeah. And what ends up happening is the Ultramarines begin deploying forces. The Ultramarines, are not in a great spot, by the way. The Plague Wars have just devastated Ultramar. But the cool thing about the Ultramarines is that they recognize when the needs outweigh anything else. And so they could sit on Ultramar and build up their forces, but in doing so, there would be no Imperium to go back to. So they send everyone all over the place. And the Ultramarines deploy forces to assist in defeating this Hive fleet that is everywhere, including First Captain Severus Agamemnon. And Severus.
Agamemnon.
It's not, yeah.
I'm calling him that.
Agamemnon.
So I did that last time. I'm doing it again.
Yeah. But more importantly, Chief Librarian Tigerius. That's going to come up.
Tiggy rocks.
Tiggy's really important. So back to the thing. Kill Team Kassarin arrives in Kaduku before the Ultramarines get there. And their Corvus Black Star is somehow not prepared to fly through gargoyles. It's a really cool scene, but I got to call out, like, how does the Ordo Xenos not prepared to fly through gargoyles. Seems like that's the number one thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's specifically designed to take out Zeno's threats, and somehow gargoyles, you know, banana in the tailpipe took it down.
This is like saying, hey, we've built the best boat ever, but don't put it in water. That's kind of what we got here. I don't get this. It's a cool scene. Now, just one little bit here. If you haven't played Space Marine 2.
I'm saying a little bit, John. Okay, let's start with not a little bit. When we say little bit, I mean flashing neon lights over top of the Vegas casino. We are going to spoil Space Marine 2, the video game, so unbelievably bad. Spoiler alert, second spoiler alert, if you're still here after this one, well, either you played it or you're willing for us to spoil it. Let's continue now.
All right. So Nullis gets separated from his kill team because they're all dead. And he's able to recover the toxin and it fights his way to the planetary defenses to replicate it and then fire it into the atmosphere. I guess maybe it's a stratosphere. One of those two. Anyway, in doing so, the swarm is temporarily abated, allowing the forces of the Imperium to organize and fight. While doing this, no, Nullis is overwhelmed by the Tyranid form. The Tyranid Swarm, and he finds himself.
The Tyranid Swarm, he's doing well. You're doing well in the game, by the way. It's super annoying that you get hit by a million gaunts.
Yeah.
But you're like, I think I have this. And then, well, a card effect shows up and gives him a powerbomb courtesy of Captain Insano and pretty much just takes him out.
Yeah. And as he's about to die, an Ultramarine Soul Blade squad teleports in. And by the way, the Soul Blade is just a silly name for a strike force because it can be either Astartes or Sisters of Battle. And I don't know if it's supposed to be Soul Blade, like they're from the system Soul, or Solo Blade. It's fine.
Soul Blade.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
It could be Soul Blade, S-O-U-L. It's not, but that'd be a lot funnier. Yeah. They just got music. Anyway, but Nullis is saved by the squad and brought back to the Ultramarines. Why? Tiggy. Because apparently, as soon as they got into the system, Tigerius could sense Titus. Tigerius is the most powerful human psyker. Yeah. Because Emperor is kind of human, but outside of that, it's Tiggy. Yeah. I said kind of. It's Tiggy. And he all of a sudden senses the lost captain of the second company. And Tiggy just locates him almost immediately. This is while Titus is fighting with Tyranid, by the way, and orders, go get him. And so they teleport down, they grab his body, and they actually bring it back to the Righteous Fury, which is the capital ship of the Ultramarines. However, Titus is a little bit worse for wear. Turns out, fighting a Carnifex mano a mano, like Kingsbury style, is not ideal. And so they give him extra gene seeds and organs, which, by the way, it's also weird.
Rubicon.
Yeah, but it's a really weird thing. Think about it. So you're really injured. He's super beat up. Yeah. Let's do extra surgery on you and put more stuff in you because it'll
heal faster and stuff. So, but also,
how are you going to heal from the initial surgery?
When he comes,
how did you do? Like they shoved two electrodes.
I'm better.
Yeah. Exactly. Were you just way better than right after?
100%. I jumped up and ran.
Yeah. We have photos to prove otherwise.
Now, if you watch Space Marine 2, though, you play the game. When he comes out from the Rubicon surgery and they show him shirt off, you're like, you have all of the scar tissue. He had, it looked like they were operating on him with samurai swords.
Yeah.
He's just so cut up.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
40K Lorecast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings may vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
So after he's recovering, or before he recovers, it's not really clear when he does this. Tigerius does another like psychic phone call to Marnius Kalgar. And he tells Kalgar, hey, we found Titus. And also I scanned Titus and there's no hint of corruption in his soul. In which Kalgar goes, good enough for me. And reinstates Titus as an ultramarine. Just full stop. Yeah.
And for no reason whatsoever, because we just didn't have enough lieutenant models in the game.
Yeah.
There's millions of them. Titus gets a demotion.
Well, he gets a demotion because, again, GW had to fit him in because, you know, Kato's alive.
Yes, but just you're like, hey, man, you went through all these other things. Also, we docked you down a break.
And there also was a current captain. It actually makes sense because you have Arcaran is currently in charge. And if you think about it, Titus has been asleep for 120 years. It'd be weird to be like, hey, is it Arcaran or Arcarion? Arcarion, I know you've been doing a good job. You've been leading the second company, rocking and rolling. But here's this dude who hasn't been around for 130 years. We're going to put him in charge. Does he know what a Tyranid is? Actually, he does now, but he wouldn't have. He might not have back then. Oh, he would have back then. But the point is, he doesn't know as much, but he can still be in charge. Why would that matter? So they don't. They make him a lieutenant.
It's just funny, though. Titus gets a raw deal quite a bit for most of his time.
But once he wakes up, Titus... first meeting is with a very angry chaplain who's more than happy to inform Titus that, in effect, he's been brought back to the chapter against the wishes of said chaplain.
Yeah, this guy's a douche.
Well, we learn more later as to why, but Titus wished to return to the Death Watch, actually. He comes out and goes, yeah, so can I just go continue my watch? In which case, the chaplain informs him, no, your vigil is over. You've been declared free of corruption, and if you really want to redeem yourself, you're going to have to do it as an ultramarine. So
hold on, give him the second part though.
But also,
oh yeah, man, you got it. You're going to redeem yourself. We got no corruption whatsoever. Also, if I think you even eat your breakfast a little bit awkward, I'm going to shoot you in the back of the head.
And also, you're not allowed to tell anyone where you've been or who you are. So a bunch of people are going to get this random new dude showing up. Hello, fellow
Space Marine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is going on here? Yeah. So Titus then put in charge of a 2-man crew of Gadriel and Chiron. And Gadriel was the former squad leader and now got demoted to not squad leader for Titus. So Titus, you know, it's a nice little chain effect. Titus gets demoted. Gadriel gets demoted. There's probably some other person who got demoted. Someone else got kicked off the squad. So whatever. Gadriel is written to basically be the new Leandros, which is super annoying for the record because this game is a pretty solid, we're not going to go with ripoff, but it's not that dissimilar from Space Marine 1. Like, I assume
it's significantly better than Space
Marine. Yeah, but I assume it's Space Marine 3.
Also, I also didn't hate him as much as I did Leandros, so.
Yeah, I just think in Space Marine 3, we're going to get Titus having to fight a Xenos invasion that then turns out to be a Chaos invasion, and no one's going to believe him, and then he's going to overcome it, and everyone's going to come around to his side, because that's basically two in a row now. But anyway, so at first, Gadriel is thrilled. Serving the Death Watch is a big deal. And so being led by someone with this much Xeno knowledge is kind of a privilege. But then they discover Titus was a Black Shield, meaning that he'd done something to offend the chapter, which makes him less cool. This is an important part of Gadriel. But first mission, or maybe it was second mission, Titus and the crew were sent to recover the assets from a crashed Thunderhawk. The crew are all dead, but there's an artifact present. And when he touches it, Titus loses consciousness. Also, the crew of the Thunderhawk were not killed by Tyranids, but by Chaos Forces. Surprise, surprise. Because again, there's a Xenos invasion, but actually it's a cover for a Chaos.
Well, invasion. Titus gets a big flash. He gets a Commander Shepard with the beacon kind of flash when he touches it.
Yeah, but anyway, this time the evils are Thousand Suns, and no one knows their motives yet. So Titus and his crew are then sent on another mission to track down a missing tech priest. And this is because this tech priest is viewed as having important information for the Imperium, basically. They have to use a cogitator in order to track his location. And when you use a cogitator, everything in the Imperium is coded. So you have to use a code to access the cogitator. which that code, though, was like full admin credentials, basically. So Titus goes into it, starts looking at stuff, finds this.
I love this part because Titus goes, yeah, I need to find out where this book is in the library, and went, or I can also look up the entire Library of Congress, which is what he does immediately.
Yeah, so he discovers something there called Project Aurora and looks into it further, and Titus discovers that the artifact in Project Aurora, what he had touched before, is the same thing from Space Marine 1 back on Graia. He's
psychic scourge.
He's not thrilled. It's just called the power source thing at this point, but he's not thrilled by that, by the way. They track down the missing tech priest named Luz. And when they rescue him, Luz spills the beans to Gadriel and Chiron that Titus was the former captain of the second company and disappeared after the chaos incident on Graia. At which point, Gadriel gets suspicious and makes a pouty face.
He's lame. He's not Leandris lame, but still lame.
Yeah, this whole thing is silly. Titus was reinstated by Khalgar. Feels like you can take that one at face value. Just throwing it out there, but... anyway,
well, let's talk about what happens here. Titus is bent, rightfully so. He's had nothing but bad shit happen, and then he just wanders up and goes, really? We're still just, hey, man, what's going on with the cursed item? Maybe if we poke it a couple more times, something good will happen. Yeah. So he's bent out of shape. He knows that nothing good's going to come of this. He doesn't know why it's still being actively used, or at least investigated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what happens is he goes to Acheron and tells him, hey, we need to call Khalgar and tell him the truth about Project Aurora, because to Brad's point, he knows Project Aurora is going to backfire. Acheron tells Titus that Khalgar and Khalgar is just right out. The shadow of the warp is blocking everything.
This is actually a real thing. For a change, there's a reason that communications don't work, because the Tyranids' shadow of the warp actually blocks everything. It blocks communication, but it blocks psychic communication also, because it's a giant, it's almost like wild white noise everywhere. You can't get through it.
And so Titus's solution is, if I just kill the hive tyrant to get to work, won't it? And Acheron goes, well, yeah. He goes, all right. So they go on a little adventure and they kill a hive tyrant. That's kind of how that goes.
Significant, by the way.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It's also a pretty cool animation.
It's a cool animation. It seems a little bit easier than I think it should be, but whatever, who cares?
I mean, wildly easier. Yeah. Khalgar, it's also a one-player game, so you're just rolling out with Titus.
It's fine. Between this and Rogue Trader, I liked Rogue Trader more than this, but in the game Rogue Trader, you do some stuff, you're like, yeah, no, you can't do that. There's, like, you're not beating a Lord of Change. Just
also, if you haven't played Rogue Trader, that is such a game that feels like 40K.
It's Space Marine 2 is a better kind of like enjoying 40K game.
Oh, it's a shooter game.
But man, Rogue Trader is deep.
It goes deep.
Yeah, and the expansions were really good, but I digress. So Titus, after killing the Hive Tyrant, goes to the Astropath Acquire, send a message to Khalgar. At which point, as he's trying to do it, the lead Astropath starts accusing Titus of being a heretic, right? Pointing on that, saying, you're trying to kill Khalgar. That's what you're really doing, blah, blah, blah. And Gadriel's like, yeah, I knew it. And he attacks Titus, which is dumb. And then while the two of them are having, they're not full fighting, but they're kind of doing that like sparring thing where no one's getting hurt yet, a gunshot occurs and it's Chiron just having killed the Astropath. And then the Astropath turns into a chaos sorcerer named Lord.
Sorcerer Lord. Thank you very much. Yeah,
turning into the Lord Imura, who had possessed the Astropath. Now, fun story on Chiron. He's from Kalth, which actually is a big deal because of how old that makes him. For those who don't know, at the outbreak of the heresy, the Word Bearers attacked the planet Kalth. They're using it as a staging ground to both devastate the Ultramarines, but also perform a spell that would bring about a massive warp storm to keep the Ultramarines that part of the galaxy. Chiron was there as an Ultramarine, meaning that Chiron is 10,000 years old, which they totally just gloss over in the game.
They blow off.
Because I actually missed this the first time I played through it, and I read it. I'm like, what? And I went back and played it again. And yeah. So I guess he must have put in stasis for injuries. And then when Call made the Primaris Marines, he was one of the ones that he then converted over for one of the early Rubicon conversions. Yeah, Kairos is 10,000 years old. It's basically him and what's the Space Wolf Dreadnought?
Bjorn,
yeah. So he's almost Bjorn age, but not in a Dreadnought. And he's been asleep the whole time.
Also, it's so funny on this because he's so... you're a traitor, you're corrupted and all this. And all of a sudden he just goes, ah, no, we're not. You have my sword, my shield, my axe. Yeah. You're just like,
well, to be fair, Gadriel, I think what they were trying to get to is that Gadriel trusts Chiron to the end of the earth. Chiron was on Kulth and says, yeah, look, I can kind of sense corruption. And sense that was corruption. So I shot the astropath. So now Gadriel's all on Team Titus. And the three merry men are all aligned and ready to go kick ass and chew bubblegum. But unfortunately, in the 41st millennia, there's a massive shortage of bubblegum. So now we're getting into it, and the game starts to move a lot quicker now. We get a lot of reveals. So they refer to Archeron. Titus shares his findings. And despite...
Also, why doesn't he just shoot him in the head at this point in time? Because as soon as he gives him his findings, they go, oh, that's cool. And you were there for the first time? And everything went to shit. What if we do exactly the same thing again and see if the result's different?
Yeah. So this time, despite everything Titus says, they go, nice, but we know how to use it better this time. There's no way it'll happen again. So they go to the world called Demirium, which is a grave world. So it's where, they bury important people, but used to be a Necron tomb world, still is a Necron tomb world, I guess, technically, but whatever. And the Mechanicum's plan was, we'll just combine Necron technology with the power source to make the ultimate anti-warp weapon. Except the power source is a Necron technology.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, I got this great plan. I'll use Necron technology and I'm going to combine it with other Necron technology. And then I'm going to use it to do stuff. And
it also, you literally drew this up in the garage and you're like, this will 100%, 60%, maybe, who knows, flip a coin, work for sure, I hope.
Yeah, so eventually they get the weapon and they get into a battle with the evil sorcerer Imra, and they defeat him and they activate the weapon right at him because the idea is we're going to attack your warp powers. And in what is basically a clone of Space Marine 1, it turns out that they were wrong. It opens a giant portal to Immaterium. What? And a ton of...
I can't believe it!
Yeah, a ton of Tzeentch demons come pouring through.
And it looks awesome in the game, by the way.
Oh, the cinematics here are incredible. Just the writing's not. But after retreating, the Ultramarines kind of lick their wounds. And like, well, what are we going to do next? And they decide that the Aurora project has polarities to it. And right now it's making more warp. But if we flip it the other way, it'll take the warp away. Or in Spaceballs terms, we take it from suck to blow.
To blow. Also.
Which I wish they just done. I wish they just done that in the movie. And it would have been a bunch of just do a little Spaceballs homage. Everyone would have been happy. So.
To be fair, what they're doing in the story is okay. But what happens in the cinematic, in the game, is holy crap, bad to the bone.
Yeah,
this rock solid.
I'll be honest, this game came out and when it released, it was fairly buggy. I stayed away from it originally, and the whole reason I ended up playing the game was this one scene. And this is the scene where the Ultramarines are holding out like against Last Hope on a rock as an endless swarm of demons, hell brutes, Thousand Suns are bearing down to them.
Flying, there's people on Dis-Zeench everywhere.
Yeah.
And then Kalgar and the Vitrix Guard just jump out of Thunderhawk.
So the Thunderhawk comes in and starts shooting at them. Then, a bunch of Ultramarines deploy down, and Kalgar just steps off the ramp and lands and just walks towards Titus while shooting, like not even looking, and his Vitrix Guard are slashing things down and walks up to Titus and goes, you have information for me, I hear? So what's going on today?
He definitely pushed the extra pumps on the boots of mighty ass kicking because Kalgar is just windmill kicking people.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
They then... he rally the troops, go after him. Imaro just gets cornered and he tries to flee into the Immaterium with Project Aurora, in which case Kalgar, Titus, Gadriel, and Chiron chase him in.
They roll into a chaos portal with absolutely no thought. Just like, I got this YOLO swag.
And they end up dueling a Lord of Change and Imara in the battle.
In the game, it's very, very cool. Don't get me wrong. But this, if you were reading this and you know Lords of Change, this was...
Yeah.
But it's such an epic battle, though.
It's cool. It's cool, but you would eye roll. So you're fighting a Lord of Change in the warp? Yeah. Are you Drago?
My man.
Yeah, exactly. Drago, yeah. So I guess maybe it's still Drago did do it. Maybe they can do it too. But eventually, while Imara is fighting and all this stuff's going on, Titus flips the thing back from blow to suck, and it evaporates all the warp power from him, destroying him and actually banishing him permanently. So it's a true death for him. They get back on the ship, and Titus is confronted by the chaplain again.
I'm not letting you make even half of what this dude is. In the game, he comes up, and he doesn't say this, but this is what I got, which he's like, I knew you were good all along, man, and you were going to do good stuff.
Yeah.
Boo. Yeah. Put the chaplain in the airlock and fire him out.
Yeah, so the chaplain takes his helmet off, and it turns out it's Leandros. But he does warn him that if he faltered, that he believes he is redeemed. Titus has redeemed himself, but he falters towards chaos. Leandros will still kill him. Anyway, let's get... So there's a bit more about this game if you play the multiplayer, where they're fleshing out a bit more of the backstory. But
I kept saying that I don't like him. I hate him as much as Leandros from the first. And I didn't want to say anything till now because we did make it a little spoiler for ourselves.
Yeah.
But he still sucks. That's why I was so mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, the reason this sucks is that Titus called Leandros a failed ultramarine for his inability to distinguish between reality and the Codex. And now Leandros is been promoted to a position of authority where he tells the ultramarines how to interpret the Codex. So
yeah, and he sucks.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, but let's jump on to Secret Level. So if you haven't seen Secret Level, it's 19 minutes of your life. Most of it's actually ads, so it's like...
Sans for like 12 minutes.
Yeah, life. Just go watch it. We'll wait. But in it, a message comes in. And his squad is made up of Titus, Metaris, who's a Blade Guard vet, who actually we realize later recruited Titus as a boy, Icarus and Leventon, who have no purpose me giving their names out because they're present. They do cool stuff, but that's the extent of what you need to know about their name.
And then they show up and they realize they're all wearing red shirts, but continue. Yeah.
So they're sent to destroy a chaos shrine on the world of Zashu. Anyway.
I'm not even trying to help you with that.
And it's projected as a suicide mission. So badass.
Well, they're trying to basically get the shield down so they can bomb this place in the first place.
They had to figure out where it is. So it wasn't the shield down. Right. They didn't know where it was. So they had to go down find it. Yeah. They had to go down there and find it. And this is just absolute badassery. You've got epic fight scenes. They make their way to the shrine. You need to watch it. It is a very good representation of what a space marine versus regular humans looks like. It is unpleasant and it's cool as hell. But the whole thing with this, a couple of little kind of cool elements to it that some people don't realize when they watch it. He's dragging this sarcophagus with him. And as they on a chain, just dragging it along. And you don't really know why, but he keeps dragging it. So whatever.
Let's back up a little bit because I do want to say, okay, we give a couple of the awesome things that happened. We have to
say. Why? It's 12 minutes of their life. They can go watch it. Brad, I love you to death, man, but you will not do as good of a job as the visuals actually will just do.
Challenge accepted.
I think we both know you're going to go, it's really epic. This guy kills a dude with an axe. Yeah, man, just go watch it. It's insane. It's so cool.
He just ignores the bike.
I know, but that's fantastic. Yeah, it'd be like me trying to explain, like, oh, here's the end of Star Wars. So what happens? That sounds lame. No, if you watch it.
I would be awesome at it.
Uh-huh. As someone who's...
Maybe better than it.
Who's 170 hours into listening to you. anyway. So they get to the statue of Zeej. And we figure out what's in the casket. So he pulls it out, and this like Imperial Psyker pops out because his eyes are covered up, and it's a Geller field. So this is one of my favorite things in the game is that we talk about Geller fields. Oh, I've got a Geller field. And people are like, oh, so it's like a machine you have that keeps demons out. I mean, sort of, yeah, kind of, but it's also a human being that powers it. Does that human being get to walk around and do stuff? No, we lock it in a casket forever.
He's in a box.
Yeah, in the back.
Also, remember, 40K, everything in 40K is a nightmare. And this guy is actually in charge of defending people from the nightmare.
Yeah.
By being
his own nightmare.
Forever yeah. nightmare.
Yeah. He's an imprisoned human psyker. And when he pops out, he creates a force field. So that way, when they start shooting at the giant statue to try and, you know, do damage to it so they can then put a beacon to bring in the strike, that statue doesn't just warp them out of existence. The problem is that there's a mutant sorcerer. So that's what that thing is. We've seen it. It's a mutant sorcerer. And that is hiding in the statue and goes, well, this isn't ideal, and jumps down. Because the thing about a Geller field is it does a good job of keeping psychic powers out, but does a terrible job of keeping things out. And the mutant sorcerer just kind of throws a knife at the guy. And so he dies. Now, without the Geller field around them, the Space Marines are, unfortunately, they're no longer immune to the powers of the warp. Well, three out of the four aren't.
Well, he's not completely immune. However, it's cool because in the game, effectively he's casting warp time. So he's slowing down time and stopping it. And then he's mentally assaulting, which I love in the show how they do this, because in the game it was always, you know, they just go, oh, you take X amount of damage. When someone actually assaults your soul, mentally assaults you.
I mean, all right, let's call it out what it is. They stole this completely from Nightmare on Elm Street. Because
don't make it less cool.
Why? It's what this is. So the psyker goes into them and then freezes them and then goes into their brain, and in their brain makes them see their worst fear and then manifests that fear in reality. That's what Robert Englund did, who is not dead. I had to look it up, by the way. He's not dead. They could have used him for this. It would have been cooler. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to rip off Nightmare on Elm Street, I don't care about anyone involved with that franchise except Robert Englund. He's a treasure. So they should have allowed him to come in there, or at least put a weird sweater on the mutant psyker. Whatever. But mutant psyker kills Icarus, then Levantine, and it turns to Mataris. And actually, what he shows, or she, what it shows, Mataris, is a vision of Titus turning traitor. That's where Titus, because as we see Titus, he's in a chaos outfit, basically. In that, Titus stabs Mataris, which then manifests in real space. That's why I said, when you see that, Titus doesn't actually stab him. It's in his mind, he stabs him. Again, just watch Nightmare on Elm Street. This all makes complete sense if you've seen Nightmare on Elm Street. Because again, why do the writers not realize I also have... Like, they write these things like somehow I haven't seen the movie. If you're going to do it, pick a movie that no one's seen, but not like, hey, remember Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah. I'm going what back if we rip to the that cooler off? Part, though, because you find out and you realize that he tried to show Titus his greatest fear, which is, oh, yeah, I forgot to have any.
Yeah.
I don't have any. Yeah. And he proceeds to put a pummeling on him.
Yeah.
Titus just doesn't have fear.
And that's the thing, but there's nothing to exploit in Titus. He doesn't feel pity. He doesn't feel remorse or fear. He will
not stop until you're dead. Yeah. Just quoting the Terminator.
Well, because I might as well let GW know I've also seen that movie if you want to rip that one off. Necrons. Anyway, so seriously, why can't they like steal from Army of Darkness? Like that just, I'd just say they keep stealing from like all these movies. Just give me one army, just what, one army.
One Marine that just says, give me some sugar, babe.
Yeah. Or just good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. That's an easy one that could fit into this anywhere, but they keep going with Alien and Terminator. So anyway, Titus slays the sorcerer and turns back to Mataris. Mataris, you know, it's a suicide mission. This is it. They're dying. So he calls in the orbital strike. And when he calls in the orbital strike, the response he gets back from the orbit is, die well, brothers. Mataris is like, look, I'm 400 years old. I'm happy to die. Titus is kind of like, yeah, I'm just not done yet. So he picks up Mataris and carries him away from the blast zone. They don't show that, which is kind of like,
but he starts murdering cultists by
later. That's the part. You're jumping ahead. I want to talk about this whole thing. So he calls in an orbital strike, and the period of time it takes the orbital strike to launch, Titus is able to pick up Mataris and leave. Orbital strike. How far did Titus run with another space marine on his back? And how fast did he run?
Just got a good 40.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Probably more than a 40. This is like, you know, Kenyan marathon. All right. But while they're sitting there, to Brad's point, he puts Mataris down, and the cultists are coming, and Titus goes, I'm going to go kill these guys till someone picks us up. And that's exactly what happens. Because, you know,
just so much beat
hundreds,
down.
Thousands. He just, I have a combat knife. We're just going to do this for a while. So that gets us to kind of basically modern Titus. And we did get another update recently. Titus has now been promoted to a captain. He's back at the captain of the second company. But there's a backstory there. So I do want to cover some of that backstory at the very end of this. Timeline-wise, GW did a good job. We did not do the Marvel, you know, like, timeline. Well, in this reality, it's this. I hate that. I get they didn't have a choice, but I hate it. So Titus disappeared due to being incarcerated by Thrax. Then the second company was without a leader. So then Calgar made Cato Sicarius. And we covered Sicarius in our Ultramarines cast, which you should listen to because it's an Ultramarines cast, and you should always listen to anything that involves the Ultramarines.
Jesus.
So Cato is super badass. He's the Sigismund of the Ultramarines. He leads from the front, but he has a little bit of a history of overly charging forward. And sometimes, you know, he's always victorious, but there's some questions about, did we have to lose that many people? It's a couple of small blemishes, but he eventually achieves titles like the Valor Crest and the Champion of McCreg.
Which is a super righteous title, by the way.
Yeah, and a huge pain in the ass to paint. I'm going to be honest. Like Valor Crest, you put a Valor Crest on a model, that means congratulations. You'd better be at least an A-minus level painter, because I hate painting crests.
Just, I've never had a problem.
Because you never painted one.
I mean, I didn't say that I did. I'm just saying I've never
had. Yeah. Why can't, if you want me to put the model in my army, instead of a Valor Crest, just have a Valor, paint this with Lead Belcher and then Null and Oil and call it a day. That's what it should, Crest. That's what it should be called. Lead Belcher, Null and Oil, Crest. I couldn't be happier with that combo. But he also is the champion of McCreg, which is a bit more badass, because what that means is anytime the honor of the Ultramarines is challenged, he steps forward to defend it. And the stories around Cato are brutal. But he and his retinue, I still hate that word, were traveling back to Ultramar and got lost in the warp. And the last note that they put out was, they have breached the hull, they are here. After that, nothing. So Sicarius is declared dead. If you want to listen to our Ultramarine cast, we can talk more about how he was very much so not dead. And he fought his way back, and he's now back in the galaxy, but he's leading Gilliman's Vitrix Guard.
Really, which is a boss mode position.
Oh, it's the ultimate position of like power and authority and respect within everyone. Looks like, oh, that dude rules. But while Sicarius is lost to the warp, a new captain of the second company had to be promoted. And this is Acheron from the game. Acheron has no lore outside of the game and a paragraph that was added later. So he is later credited as being all over the place with the second company. Plague Wars, Pariah Nexus, Vigilus, and of course, Fourth Tyrannic War. But he just died. And he died because there was a Gene Stealer cult invasion on the infected world of Trig. And he got there and discovered that, it's a cool story, because what happens is a survey vessel and some Mordian guards were near the planet, and it got destroyed. Because obviously the Gene Stealer cult didn't want to get found out. So Chiron and Acheron, because we have to kill Chiron off too, both gets sent to lead an attack on the world, which is just all Gene Stealer.
I was just saying, yeah. It's all GSC now.
Yeah, it's bad place. And they discover how massive this is. And Acheron and all of the Ultramarines go into the hives and lock the hives down so no one can get in or out of them. And then just spend a bunch of time killing as many of them as they can until they all died. Later, reinforcements arrive, and they're able to basically mop up what's left because the damage Acheron and Chiron did. And obviously, it wasn't just the two of them. It was the second company was there, and they clean up. But now, again, the second company has a vacancy. And this time, it's Gilliman who promotes Titus to captain the second company.
Hold on this. Because Gilliman's like, hey, man, welcome back. You're captain. You're back to the captain of the second company. Oh, yeah. As a side note, I've got a small task I want you to do. You know,
he takes him, says, hey, here's your promotion. So you get the little extra pin on your armor. And then I'm going to take your armor and I'm just going to coat it the way I use Null Oil. But this time it's going to be plot armor. because it is all
you're gonna need it.
You're gonna need all of this stuff. Here you go. It's I mean, not, and I'm not talking like a nice little brushing of it. He got dunked in it and then pulled out, like, all right, like Achilles
cannonball.
One thing more Achilles style, but his mother realized, but just dip him twice. That way it covers everywhere.
Yeah, he Gilliman asked Titus to fortify the borders of Ultramar, which is known as the 500 worlds. Yeah. And the 500 worlds haven't been great. So he has, he's like, hey, man, do this. Also, I need this done by like next Tuesday because I kind of want to spring from here on the next part of the crusade to retake the galaxy.
What this whole plan is that Gilliman is back in the galaxy. He's taken control of the Imperium, basically, and realizes that he needs a force to help him go out into the galaxy. He looked around and said, well, there's really only one force that's actually capable of doing what I need him to do, and that's the Ultramarines. So he then, so he fully invests in the Ultramarines and tells Titus, your job is to make it so Ultramar is the best, which it already was, but fine, the betterest of the best part of the galaxy, because I'm going to use this to launch a campaign to go fix the galaxy, basically.
This is the Herculean, you know, kind of effort he's throwing down.
Yeah, so we're going to...
He also just throws this out like, hey, man, figure it out, you know?
He's an Ultramarine. Of course he'll figure it out. God, why can't you figure this? He's not a salamander. Ugh. You know?
Oh, Jesus.
I wish you get hate for this. I won't even make fun of Space Wolf players because they'll just be like, yeah, the Space Wolves actually aren't that good at that stuff. So like, was it something that was done personally to the Space Wolves? In which case, they're amazing. It's done to somebody else. Were they honorable? Maybe we were involved, but otherwise, meh. So what we're getting into with the 500 worlds is going to be the close of 10th edition. And then we'll get the 11th. So this is what we're going to launch into. What we know about the 500 worlds is that the Necrons are going to be part of it. Again, very heavy Ultramarines. We're already starting to get new detachments, new rules. So the big question for all of us is, are they going to ruin the end of 10th edition the way they did the end of 8th? That's what, I mean, those of us who've been playing long enough, that's exactly what happened. At the 8th, we got Psychic Awakening at the end of 8th edition. And by the end of Psychic Awakening, we were all really ready for 9th edition because it was unplayable. So... your move, GW. Your move. We will be covering the 500 worlds in depth, obviously, because both it's interesting and involves Ultramarines. So, but we're going to stop here until those books come out and we've read them and digested them and can have a cast on it. Next week, we're stepping back a bit in time to 444 of M41 and the sighting of a Chaos Primarch, Armageddon 1.0. Not 2.0 or 3.0 or 0.0 or -0.10, whatever. It's, you know, this is going to be fun. We're going to, this will be, this battle is super cool. So with that, John Barsotti, Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you all next week.
Hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.